After nearly a half century of research, Dave has a few things to say. And so do you.
We are the United Federation of Planets. You see, we speak English anyway.
For the next 2 hours, Dave will share what's on his mind, and you should call in to share what's on yours. Without further ado,
like Giuseppe. Here's Johnny. Well, and the only reason I'm here is because of that guy, Giuseppe, who talked me into doing this because I did not want to do a radio show. And he did it. So here we are. Of course, I did want to do a radio show. I didn't know when I wanted to do a radio show, but I've done so many radio shows that, you know, hey, it's a different, every day is different, right? It's a different era right now where anything is possible, especially now, right? Anything was always possible, but now more than ever, especially when we are thinking and talking about the eternal enemy. And we know who that is, of course. So, this is the Dave Gahary call-in show on speakfreeradio.com. And it is June 4. So, it's 6424. And it's 1204. Everything's even, right? Yeah? Yep, right now. 6-4-2-0-2-4-12-0-4. Perfect. Except for that one. Yeah. Well, at any rate, speakfreeradio.com. Let's go over that right now before. This is a new show, first show. And we did talk about this. I did with the folks over at SFR about having some sort of a, you know, just a show where folks could, listeners could come in and just talk about whatever they wanted to. We do that now, kind of, but, you know, actually we were talking about an even, you know, larger or longer time span. But now we've got a lot of new hosts and new shows. Thanks primarily to the guy who wrangled me into doing this show. So let's just go over that a little bit, because that's what's important. Okay, let's just go back to yesterday, Monday, and we've got a lot of original programming, so which means that it's SFR programming, not being piped in from other networks. There's nothing wrong with piping shows from other networks, but we want to fill up our roster with nothing but original programming with these great hosts. So on Mondays, and this is all in Eastern time, so I guess that's like the main time in the world, right? Eastern, because New York is there. So let's just talk Eastern. 8 in the morning, Monday through Saturday, from 8 to 11. So 3 hours each one of those days is the flood. Followed by Ballbusters from 11 to 1. And these are all really, I listen to the shows, they're all great shows. Smart hosts. Just really the tip of the spear kind of stuff. And our good man, Giuseppe, from 1 to 3, The Sane Asylum. It was a pretty raucous show yesterday. You know, I listened to that that little segment where Davis, I mean, look, I had obviously foreknowledge that there was a stunt going on. However, when I listened to it and he had all that, you know, those funny tracks, like 3 years later, you know, so it was, to me, it was kind of obvious that, you know, it was a skit, but I know a lot of people weren't aware of that and they thought he was being, you know, particularly nasty. But it was just a skit. And of course, the skit didn't come off exactly as planned because the fella who was directed at, Paul, and he's either in California or Nevada, I'm not quite sure, his connection was not solid. So I don't even know if he was in on it, but maybe he wasn't to rouse him and razz him. But, you know, it was fine. It was cool. It's radio. It's live radio. There's nothing like live radio, right? So check that out, that show. It's in the archives already. Then we've got, before Flood, we've got like stuff being piped in from outside and also stuff that's put together by the good folks at SFR, you know, stuff that is compelling, but not original programming. Then you got Jim Fetzer, and Jim is an old friend of mine. And by the way, that intro says I've been studying this for 50 years. That would mean I'm like 90. It's half of that, but that's okay. That will keep people guessing. So Jim Fetzer, who is, literally, you know, a machine. He doesn't stop. And Jim is going to be 84 this December. He literally is like, you know, a teenager. He's just got a lot of energy, physical and intellectual, and he doesn't stop. So Jim's coming in from RBN. And then after that, on Monday, you got a three-hour mix of programs. Now, these might be programs, these might be SFR programs as well, so repeats of shows that might be particularly good, although pretty much all of them are good, really. I'm not just saying that. And then at 8 o'clock, and that's Monday through Friday, 8 to 11, he went up to 3 hours, is that scoundrel Davis Lerman, who caused all that trouble yesterday on Giuseppe's show. I'm kidding, of course. 8 to 11, so 3 hours of Davis. Another great show. And then we get to Nick at Night Nation Review. I mean, they're all literally, it's just great programming. Like I said, G has done a terrific job of bringing in these new hosts and shows. And I have done almost nothing the entire time. And there are other people behind the scenes who will go unnamed. But what a great team. And it always is a team thing. It's not one. It's really not one person doing anything. You got to have a good team. And let's go to Tuesday. And, of course, Nick goes from 11 till 2. And then, again, after the stuff that's piped in and perhaps repeats of SFR shows, you've got, again, the lineup: Flood from 8 to 11, Ballbusters from 11 to 1, this new show from 1 to 3, and then again, Jim. Now, on Tuesday, we've got Zach from Logos Revealed. That's right after Jim Fetzer, so that's from 5 to 7. And then you've only got a one-hour mix, and then you go back to Davis Lerman and Night Nation Review. And then Wednesday, same thing: Flood, Ballbusters, Sane Asylum. So Sane Asylum was Monday. It's also Wednesday. And there's not another Sane Asylum. There's a Perfect Triangle on Friday, same time, 1 to 3. Then you got Jim. Then you just got a one-hour mix before Io Kamathi comes on. And that's Jews Are the Problem. This will be the fourth. Tomorrow will be the fourth show. And that is from 6 to 8. And then, of course, it goes right to Davis and then to Nick. All right? So we're already on Thursday. Again, Flood, Ballbusters, then the show that G and I do, the D plus G Speak Free Call-In. That's from 1 to 3. Then, of course, you go to Jim Fetzer again. You got a three-hour mix of stuff that might be piped in from elsewhere or repeats of Speak for Your Radio shows. And then right after that, you got again Davis and Nick. Friday, same thing. Flood, Ballbusters. I mentioned the Perfect Triangle, which is the most popular show on the network, by the way. We found that out. I don't know why, but it is. We're also trying to find out why it is. So we know it is. We want to find out why it is so we can duplicate it. Then we go to Jim, of course, and then we've got a three-hour mix on Friday. And then it goes to Davis and, again, Nick. Saturday, Flood again. But it changes now. There's no Ballbusters. There's Inside the Eye Live with Dennis Fetcho, another popular show. Dennis has been doing this for a long time. And he's coming out of, right now I believe he's in Saudi Arabia. Right after that, there is right now in the schedule, it might change, there's Red Ice Radio from 2 to 4, again being piped in from somewhere else. I guess Red Ice, I don't know. And then after that, you got a two-hour mix. And following is Ryan Massano. This is Ryan's, I don't know, maybe fifth or sixth show. I should know. Could find out. Just click on podcasts. And Ryan's from 6 to 8. That's his new time. And I was on last week on his show for the last hour, and he asked me to come back, I think this week or whenever he wants. I'd love to go on, of course, because I support all of these gentlemen and what they're doing, and that's what we all need to do. And following Ryan is the Hoax Busters, and they've been doing this for a while here, 8 to 10. Of course, most of you will know that, sadly, Joe Rizzoli passed earlier this year. And so it's down to Jim, Diane King, Jim, of course, Jim Rizzoli, Diane King, and Diana Ploss. And it might be down to just two of them. It might be down to just Jim and Diane. Wasn't there a song with Jim and Diane by that John Cougar Mellencamp? No, that's Jack and Diane, right? And Diana might be stepping away from the microphone. So it will just be those two, which is fine, right? I mean, they were great with four, great with three, and they'll be great with two. So, and I have an update on, thanks to Diane, I have an update on Jim's health because he had a heart attack a couple of days ago. Okay, so let's go into Sunday. Sunday, the first original program is 10 till 12. That's Eli James, who's a hell of a nice guy. And Michael Swede. I never met him. I never talked to him, but that's his co-host. And that's Bloodlines from 10 to 12. And then you go through some, like I said, non-original programming. And you get to the Dave and Duke Show at 7. So Sunday is, Giuseppe, you're going to have to work on Sunday, right? I mean, this is ridiculous. So it's Bloodlines from 10 to 12. And then from 7 to 9, the Dave and Duke Call-In Show. So from noon Eastern time till 7, there's no original SFR programming. You know, we pay this guy enough that we should have a Sunday with original programming. If I told you how much he made, I'm not gonna, but it's ridiculous. It's just, as my old friend Jim Trafficant used to say, David, I'm fed up. I've had enough. What a great guy. After the Dave and Duke Call-In Show, the new show. This is going to be, I think, the third show coming up this Sunday. It's hard to say. It's Deus Sulis, I think. Deus Sulis. You can call it whatever you want. And with your host, it says Tonitrus, but it's pronounced Tonitrus. Tonitrus. Great guy. I've spent some time with him. I've spent some time with Daniel from Ballbusters. In time on a, you know, on a call. Just really terrific guys. And all of them, really. But I just recently spent some time with them, you know, discussing Speak Free and, you know, the direction that it's going and wants to go and so on. And just terrific guys. So let me read to you this email I got from Diane Kincaid on Jim Rizzoli. So it's pretty good. Dear friends, most of you have been following along from the beginning, for which we are grateful. After much attempted desired discussion, the cardiologists concluded that as a result of the two arteries with the blockages, five on the right coronary artery and four on the left, a redo bypass would be necessary with a forecasted 95% recovery. Jim debated about the possibility of having the new procedure about which we learned, cardiac intravascular, and I haven't read this yet, lithotripsy, so it's lithotripsy, which is shockwave therapy to break up the calcium deposits. The doctors said they would provide a transfer, and even transferring him in the ambulance. Wow. Who? And he's not even an illegal alien. See that? So that was encouraging. But after seeing the catheterization pics, being informed that there are too many blockages and thinning that couldn't sustain, I guess, the required 5 to 7 stents afterwards, he understood their recommendation. There was no discussion at this point of how or when this deterioration might have happened, though I did ask why the first CABG, and I don't know what that is, but in parentheses it says bypass, didn't take, in quotes. It's moot at this point anyway. Jim's decision about what to do is the issue. Numerous cardiologists had been consulted, but the picks were what convinced Jim. Also, with the lithotripsy, like I said, I don't know if that's how you say it. If it didn't work, they'd have to do the bypass. Because he had no pain or other issues, he was discharged yesterday afternoon. My friend drove up to get him, then drove him home. We are to return Monday for a consult about the agreed upon bypass procedure, possibly to take place next week. No, he is not bedridden. He is mobile, taking care of himself and the cats, household things, without pain. That's good. I said that. Lord willing, I return to Texas Thursday. Diane, and in parentheses, for Jim. So that's great news, obviously. We want Jim to remain healthy. He's a warrior, and the warriors have to be protected and taken care of. So, excellent. And I don't know anything more, but let's right now, get back to SFR, because I wanted to say that because I was going over the schedule, and now that that's done, I wanted to make mention of something because this had evolved over the, you know, the past month or so, is that, you know, thinking about SFR and what, you know, what its purpose is. And it's not like, you know, something that was, you know, written in stone that, oh, well, this is being put together for this particular purpose, that particular purpose. I mean, nothing specific other than, you know, free speech and the stuff that people like us like to hear. So, you know, we didn't know what, you know, how it would unfold, and we didn't know how the structure would evolve. But the fellow who did the bulk of the work, put it together in such a way that it was very efficient. And although it does require much time to maintain it, because it is a complex piece of machinery, I don't think it was ever thought about as like a money-making operation. I know that the hosts on here, they don't make any money. I don't make any money. They don't ask for money. But I thought about it, and I thought that, you know, I used to be on Pacifica Radio, the Pacifica Radio Network, the station in New York, in Manhattan, WBAI. And there are a couple other ones, I think, in Los Angeles. I think that's KPFA. And there's another one, I think, in Houston. I'm just going to look it up real quick because I should know this, and I probably did know it, but let's see. So, there's one in D.C., it looks like. So, BAI in New York City, KPFK in Los Angeles, WPFW in Washington, D.C., and KPFT in Houston. So, I think they're probably still functioning as Pacifica. But anyway, Pacifica, you know, is what's called listener-supported non-commercial. So they're listener-supported, which means they're supported by the listeners. Non-commercial means there are no companies who will advertise on the network, on the individual stations. And we know why, right? Because Pacifica, when it first started out, and that was in 1946, wow, right after the horrible World War II, which actually turned out exactly the opposite as it should have, that was founded, and it launched the following year in April, actually tax day, April 15, 1949, so 75 years ago. So it just had its 75th anniversary, and I didn't even know about that. But anyway, I was on WBAI, and, you know, this was before I was aware. I'm not going to say fully aware, because none of us are fully aware, but this was before I was aware of the stuff that we talk about. And I found out, of course, that it was listener-supported non-commercial, and I found out why. So I thought about SFR, and I thought about Pacifica and the listener-supported non-commercial and what SFR should do and what it should be like. And I'm sure that everyone involved in SFR agrees with this, because none of these people give a damn about money. I mean, you need money to live, but they're not people who, you know, focus on money. they do this because pretty much they have to. They have to get this information out, and they got to get it out of their systems. And they're great at it. So what I figured would make sense was that the money, any money that's donated to SFR, and there has been money donated to SFR, which we've used, obviously, and we still have some that we haven't used. And because we don't use it if it's not necessary. And I thought that, because it used to be, if you go to speakforyourradio.com and you click on shop, and there's that little MTP, Money Tree Publishing, image, and you go into Money Tree Publishing and you click on shop. Actually, it probably should have gone right to that link. Maybe we'll change that. Not me, of course, but the fellow on the team who does that. So if you go into that Money Tree Publishing donation buy now, and you see it says choose an option, and it has a bunch of options. Donate to MTP, which, I mean, maybe we should just remove that. Donate to SFR Eli. So he's the first one. It's arranged not in order of anything other than the size of the name. So smallest up top. So Eli, Io, NNR, Zach, Ryan, Fetch, Flood, Daniel, Tony Truce, Giuseppe, Hoaxbusters, Davis Lerman, and then the bottom one is donate to SFR operational expenses, which is fine because we do have expenses. The minimum is $5. So the way that this station should operate is that SFR is the platform, and it provides a place for the hosts to broadcast their shows. And the host should be compensated for that, because if they're not, then they might go away. And not because they're not getting any money, because like I said, they don't care. But if you are getting money from donations, it's a lot different. You feel a lot different than if you weren't. And so I've seen many hosts over the years get burned out and doing great stuff, great content. You know, not even hosts even, but, you know, writers or, you know, broadcasters or whatever it might be. I'm talking about in our realm, you know, great people getting burned out, and money had, you know, something to do with it. So I think that, you know, if you appreciate Speak Free Radio and you want it to stay around, and of course, Speak Free Radio is nothing more than the hosts on it, then go to that link, go to Money Tree Publishing donation, and select one or more hosts who you like and make a donation. Like I said, the minimum is five. I joked around, I said the max is 6 million, but it's not. I found out Diana Plass said it's more. So anywhere in between that range, we'll cap it at 6 million. If you can donate $5, that's great, right? It'll go directly to the host without any processing fees coming out of it. So there are processing fees, but we're not going to remove them and go, okay, let's see. This $5 donation, you had 7.23% come out of there, so you're going to get exactly, you know. So we're not going to do that, and we're just going to give them whatever you donate and then eat the processing fees. So they're not that much anyway. Of course, if somebody donates, you know, $1,000, then they could be, you know, $70, I think. But even then, I don't focus on money. I didn't even know what Money Tree Publishing was. I didn't even know Money Tree Publishing's numbers. I didn't even know what Money Tree Publishing was making until last year, until my dad asked me, you know, since 2017. And I said, I don't know. And he was like, what? I said, I never looked at it, and I never did. So I looked at it, you know, that one time. It was pretty cool. It means that people are interested in what we're doing and talking about. And that's one of the reasons I knew that we were going to go in this direction that we're going in. So it's really good. Somebody's calling me now, and of course I'm not going to, they don't know that I'm doing a show. So I just told them, and I'll even send them a link to that. So at any rate, yeah, that's life in the, you know, the modern world, right? All these gadgets, and it's cool, right? You got all these connections. Anyway, this fellow who was just calling me, I just found out I was invited to a conference this month, actually. It's this month. It's called the JP Conference. You can guess what JP stands for. And a bunch of, I don't know if these people are confirmed, but Io's going to be there. Lucas Gage is going to be there. Dr. Michael Scheuer, I guess he's going to be there. Dr. Cynthia McKinney. A lot of doctors, for God's sakes. Maybe I can get my PhD before the conference. And Dr. E. Michael Jones is going to be there. Supposedly this, this guy's a professor. I didn't know that. Professor Rick Wiles is going to be, I guess, piped in to the conference. So that is the end of this month. Looks like from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. I don't know much about it, but I know the guy who's organizing it, and he's a great guy, and he's a warrior. So, like I said before, we protect the warriors. We need the warriors, because the warriors are going to get us out of this mess. So, and when we find out more about it, we'll let you know. But right now, that's about it. Okay, well, let's go. I talked a lot. See that it's already 12:35. That's why people have two-hour shows, because dummies like me talk too much. Okay, let's just go to this. I always have too many browser windows open. Okay, let's see. We have a post here. No shockwaves. God, no. Capitalist medical innovations are innovation in the field of capitalism, not medicine. Sounds good having him back in Shedville instead of bringing a hospital somewhere alone. Since there seems to be no apparent danger to keep him there now, that's a way better than at the end of Hoaxbusters, which I just finished on speakforradio.com an hour ago. I was alone in the peer tube. No stream, no participants in the chat, but me. That's what I was seeing on my side. I hope this helps with the troubleshooting. I would like Jim to read into a book by a German man. He presents a case of someone experiencing precisely what happened to Jim during the walk and talk, solved in 2 weeks at no cost. Okay, well, friend, I suggest you send an email to me. Go to Money Tree Publishing. And go to the contact tab. And we need to put a contact tab on SFR too. We will. and send an email, and we'll get that to Jim. Listeners, all the listeners out there, don't call Giuseppe's Skype. That's not the number. There is no call-in number. It's only StreamYard access. So what you got to do is you got to go to speakforyourradio.com and go to the call and chat tab and click on that, and then you'll see this particular show, because I know, I think Giuseppe got it ready. He did. Yep. So there it is, that block, that icon, the Dave Harry call and show. You click on that, and you'll come into the waiting room in the studio. So do not call Giuseppe's number, because Giuseppe's not doing the show, and that number has nothing to do with this show. So thank you. Now, let us take a look to see if there's anybody who is in there. No. Okay. Since email, oh wait, is there a way for a private chat here? Since email is very well monitored and processed in certain places for well-established reasons known to both of us. I guess this is a private chat. That's what it says. So, yeah. Okay, I just want to go over something because I was talking to some of you will know Greg Felton. He wrote The Host and the Parasite and a bunch of other books. He's writing another one, too, about the duplicitousness of the media. And I mentioned something about, and I have mentioned this before, about how, you know, CNN especially, that piece of shit, is probably going to be liquidated. You know, I think that's chapter 7. Where they liquidate it, they sell off the parts. So it'll either be liquidated or it will be acquired. Although I don't know why anyone would acquire it, because it's turned into a complete joke, which is great. It's great news. Anyway, so I mentioned to Felton that he asked about it. He was talking about CNN. I said there. You know, there are reruns of, like, the Food Network that are, you know, outdoing CNN. And he said, are you kidding me? Can you send me the link? So I wasn't sure, because I really don't read the Jews media. I just look at headlines sometimes. And I got this piece on a Jew rag called the New York Post. And it's from this year, but it's from January of this year. It says CNN plunges behind History Channel, obscure Western network in primetime ratings. So I'm just going to read this because I think it's very significant that this is happening, because this is what we're witnessing is the collapse and disintegration, deterioration of the poison, corrupt, filthy, warmongering media, especially these enemies. So let's just go through this real quick. Okay. Let's start from the top. Ratings challenge CNN's total viewership in primetime last week. So this is in January. This is the end of January, which wasn't really that long ago, relatively. Behind the History Channel and an obscure cable network founded by televangelists Jim and Tammy Faye Baker, remember those guys, that plays Western TV shows and films, according to the latest figures released by Nielsen. So they lagged behind History Channel and this Jim and Tammy Baker network. The most trusted name in news, they put that in quotes, which recently hired former New York Times, they're not saying that I am, and BBC boss Mark Thompson. Doesn't sound like a Jew. Okay. Mark Thompson, as its CEO, had an average of 538,000 nightly viewers in the 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. block. So 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Okay. So that is the same time as Davis's show, if they're talking about Eastern, which they probably are. See, they just assume, right? During the seven-day period from January 15 till January 21, according to Nielsen, the weak ratings were generated despite coverage of the Iowa caucus, which saw former President Donald Trump easily rout GOP contenders in his bid to regain the White House. CNN not only finished behind rivals Fox and MSNBC, but was the 10th most watched channel on cable, getting beat by Hallmark. I don't know what that's about, but anyway, Hallmark has a channel. The History Channel and INSP, that's that Baker channel founded in the 70s. According to its website, INSP, which has transitioned from a nonprofit ministry-focused network to an advertiser-supported channel, is distributed to more than 80 million households across 2,800 cable systems, as well as the Dish Network. And unfortunately, I have to look at a picture of Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen. That's probably a current. It's disgusting. Nielsen figures, as I'm scrolling through this article, Nielsen figures show that INSP, formerly the Inspiration Network, generated an audience of 577,000. Okay, CNN did 538,000. What a joke. Fox News, whose parent company, Fox Corp, is the corporate sister of the Post's owner, News Corp, topped all networks with an audience of 2.091 million in primetime. So I guess that's primetime, right? 8 to 11, right? Because 8 to 11 is what? 5 to 8 on the left coast, right? So 2 million. So it's like almost four times more people are watching Fox. I don't give a damn about Fox. They're a joke. Obviously, everybody knows that who's listening to this, hopefully. Unless we have some new listeners who are not up to speed yet. But still, right? Fox is more representative of flyover country and, you know, all of those counties that voted for Trump. And like I said, I don't really care about Fox. I don't care about Trump. You know, we're, as everybody knows, we're not going to vote ourselves out of this. And Trump wants to literally, you know, institute a death penalty for people who don't like Jews. So another loser. Of course, the question of what to do is, you know, it's a whole nother topic for a whole nother show or shows. ESPN, the Disney-owned all-sports outfit, came in second place with 1.653 million viewers, helped by last week's NFL playoff game between the Bucks and the Eagles in prime time. So 1.6 million. So Fox is doing better than the sports shows, which is, it really is indicative of the collapse of the country. So your average American who knows nothing and close to nothing, they know something's wrong, and so they're tuning into Fox. The smart Americans tune into the stuff that all of us do and listen to, obviously. MSNBC, the left-leaning cable news channel owned by Comcast, and these are all Jews, by the way, of course, was in third with 1 million. So MSNBC has like almost double of CNN. So they'll probably pick, I would say that they'd pick up more viewers because of the divide. You know, this country has always been split, not always, but in the modern era, you know, when the Jews, you know, have done their dirty work, it's always been, you know, divided by these ideologies, right, liberal and conservative. So I would think MSNBC is, they're going to be around for a long time. The other cable networks in the top 10 included HGTV. I have no idea what that is. Hallmark, TBS, and TNT. HGTV, TBS, and TNT are owned by CNN parent company, Warner Brothers Discovery. Soon it will just be one company. That's it. Like in that Sylvester Stallone movie, I can't remember the name of it, but where Taco Bell won the fast food wars, and Taco Bell was the only remaining fast food company. A source close to CNN noted that linear TV ratings are only one aspect of CNN's audience, with its presence on the Max streaming service and their audience on CNN.com, which reached a monthly average of more than 150 million users in 2023. So linear TV they're talking about is just the TV station. That's it. So that is what really is suffering. You know, obviously there's more people online, digital stuff, and you know, CNN does provide content that even we can look at, and you know, just to get information. You know, I do that sometimes on any of them, but then as soon as I hit the first, you know, part of the ideology of these fools, I can't take it anymore. I exit out. It saves a lot of time. CNN has been in a period of transition since Thompson took over from the fired Chris Licht. Licht was ousted last year after presiding over a 14-month period during which the network failed to produce impressive ratings while being bogged down in personnel drama surrounding on-air, they should have it in quotes, but they don't, talent. Last week, the Post reported that CNN tapped Virginia Moseley, a hard-charging, controversial executive who is known by staffers to be a tyrant with no people skills whatsoever, to head its newsroom. And I guess what that means is that they're desperate and they're going down the shitter. And that's exactly what's happening. Nobody cares about CNN. It's garbage, right? Even the proletariats out there, sleepwalkers, they don't even care. So they'll congregate to Fox or MSNBC. CNN will be gone soon. In a memo circulated to staffers last week, Thompson bluntly warned of the demise of linear television. So just like they're taking AM radio out of cars, it's the same with linear television. That's going away. because everything's going online. He lamented that CNN has been slow to respond to the challenge of dwindling audiences. We need to recapture some of the swagger and innovation of the early CNN, Thompson wrote in the memo. It's time for a revolution. Thompson, what you need to do is you need to provide unbiased news. It's not that difficult. You don't need to there isn't any swagger in innovation, stupid. It's just honesty. I know you're not listening to this because you're an idiot and you don't listen to good shows, but someone should tell you, man. Is that a man, Thompson? I even forget. I try to get these things out of my mind as quickly as possible. Let's just go back. I think it was a man. I don't know. I don't care. But anyway, if it is a guy, pull your head out of your ass. There is no swagger. You know, it is Mark Thompson. There's no swagger. There's no innovation. The reason CNN was successful back when it was launched, I think that was 79 or 80, was because they were like real, like news reporters. They weren't injecting their activism. You know, that's why you're hated. And if no one has told you yet, then the reason, or if they have, even if they have, the reason you haven't changed is because you are owned by the advertisers, and that's Jews, and primarily pharmaceutical companies. So I don't know what's on TV because I don't watch it and haven't watched it since 1991, since my first son was born. And I do know, though, from being in, you know, wherever I'm at, you know, places that have a TV on, or if I'm in a hotel. And that's actually fun watching, you know, that for, you know, a few minutes before I start dozing off. But that's fun seeing TV because I don't see it. It's like a novelty. I notice the preponderance of big pharma commercials. So you're owned, obviously, by those people. So there you go. That's why you're never going to go anywhere. You're going to die. Your station's going to die. Okay? So, let's go into right 5 minutes before the top of the hour break. We're going to bring Jimmy in. Jimmy is a great guy from St. Louis, Missouri, a real American. And he listens to the Dave and Duke show. He loves Dr. Duke. And he just likes me. He doesn't love me yet, but he will.
I love you, brother. Hey, who could not love you, man?
You're right. You're right. I have a face only a mother could love on payday.
Man, I agree every day.
Okay. Great. How are you, Jimmy?
I'm okay. I'm enjoying just listening to you. And but yeah, I was thinking of all the things going on. How about that Jew that won the presidency in Mexico?
Yeah, I think, wasn't that creature the mayor of Mexico City?
Yeah, yeah. And then
Mexico City, I think, is the biggest city in the world, right?
I'm not sure about that, but I don't know. But and then today, Biden's signing a thing to stop the border, you know, close the border finally. It's like, what the
No, heck? Because of the election. They're,
yeah, right.
Biden's not signing anything. They're right, right. They're telling him, yeah, sign this, sure. Stupid. You know,
yeah, it's been so weird. Yeah. It's like, yeah, that Fetterman that was brain dead, and then all of a sudden the Jew problem came up, and he's like, you know, a smart go-to guy for, you know, what people should think of the what's going on and with Israel. It's like, man, they just don't stop with their the possibilities that they keep pulling.
Oh, hell yeah. They're not gonna.
Yeah, right. They're not gonna. It's right. It's an ongoing war from the beginning, you know?
100%. They hate us. They want us dead. They're not going to stop. They know that 99.999% of Americans are as dumb as rocks. And they're look, I'll give you an example, all right? So I go into a convenience store yesterday, right? And I don't usually go into convenience stores, but sometimes I'm not like a gambler or anything, but sometimes just for the fuck of it, I'll play the lottery, right?
Yeah.
And now only when it's high. So right. It's not even right. It's just a entertainment, right? Like that's my entertainment. It's a couple of dollars and that's it, right?
Okay.
So I went in to get these Mega Millions tickets. Because it's up to some ridiculous number, right? I don't know, but it's up there. You know, maybe 500 million. Here, let me look at it real quick before the top of the hour break.
Yeah, I always think of you when I'm playing too.
I appreciate that, man. I think of me when I'm playing too. Yeah. 560 million, right? Shit, could you imagine? I mean, what we could do, right? What we could do. Damn it.
Yeah, I wonder if the Middle East guys could, you know, pick up CNN, you know, with all the oil money.
But they're all captured by the Jew anyway. I mean, because you would see that, right, that they're opposed to the Jew and the Jew would start assassinating them. Hey, Jimmy, I'm going to take this top of the hour break, okay?
Sure.
I'm going to put you on hold here and I will be right back, all right? Okay, folks. Oh, I can't. Well, that's okay. This is Dave Gaharri. You're listening to the Dave Gaharri Call-In Show. It is, let's get the, because Speak Free has a clock on it. It's 2 o'clock Central Time, 2 o'clock Eastern Time, 1 o'clock Central Time. We've gone through the first hour. That's pretty cool, though. Speak Free Radio does have that clock, and it's exactly accurate. So it must be an atomic clock or something. But we've been going for an hour, or I've been going for an hour, rambling, and hope it's not too painful. And we are going into the second hour, as I said. Let me just say that after this show, Jim Fetzer is piped in from RBN, and then you've got Logos Revealed, Zach, great guy. That's from 5 to 7. So that's followed by 1 hour of non-original programming. Then, of course, we go again with Davis Lerman and Nick at Night Nation Review. So make sure you check it out. And let's get back to our good friend Jimmy. All right, Jimmy. Let's get you unmuted. All right, buddy. All right. So what happened was I go in there to get my ticket, and there happens now in these convenience stores, they have like automated, because, you know, they're phasing out, you know, the human worker, obviously, and they'll be gone soon. You know, we will see it, Jimmy. We will in our lifetime see, you know, the human worker gone. That's why they want to get these, these incomes, just hand them out. What do they call that? There's a term for it, right?
Yeah.
Where they just give money.
Universal income or something. Like
yeah, right, exactly. Universal income. So just, here you go. Here's a couple of bucks. Goyim, you know, have fun. You'll be able to at least live, you know. You shouldn't live, but, you know, there you go.
Whatever their plan is, it's not good.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
And the Goyim doesn't know, right? I mean, we know, but the Goyim doesn't know.
I went to a store yesterday and I was checking out and the guy had a mask on. And I said, hey, Fauci just admitted that masks and social distancing were all BS. And he just said, huh. but he didn't take it off, you know. So it's like, how do you get through these people?
Well, that's funny that you said that, because that's exactly what I – similar, not exactly, but very similar. So what happened was I'm at the checkout, and there's a guy who came to one of these, you know, automated scan things, and he's getting his, you know, his 32-ounce big gulp or whatever they call it, and, you know, dropping sugar down his gullet, you know, and – you know, maybe like a Slim Jim. I don't know. I didn't notice what he was getting. But, you know, he's like, it scans, right? I guess the barcode, right? Soon Goyim will have a barcode on his wrist or his hand, so he just can put that under the scanner and walk out. Or not even under the scanner. It'll just scan him while he's walking out of the store with his goods. And if he's a white guy and he doesn't have any, you know, money on his tokens on his account, then they'll tase him and jail him. If he's non-white, they won't do anything. They'll lift their hands up and say, maybe they'll kiss his feet. So, you know, what happened was the guy was getting a pack of cigarettes, and he was probably in his 40s. And I wasn't paying that much attention, but I noticed he had to run out to his car to get his ID. So I'm like, you're proofing him first thing?
Yeah.
He said, yeah, it's a new policy. You know. So there was a man and a woman behind the counter, both white. And they're probably approximately the same age, let's say in their 30s, right? And so I was like, wow, new rules. Yeah, there's always new rules. I said, hey, like that piece of shit or whatever I said, Fauci, he just admitted just exactly what you said. Jimmy, you know, he didn't know where the social distancing rules came from. Wearing a mask for kids, it didn't make any sense. So, you know, the guy's like, oh, I didn't hear about it. And he went to get his cell phone, I guess, to look at the story. And the female says, I don't even know who that is. So wow. I was like, yeah, have a nice day. You know, enjoy, Goyim. It's almost over.
Yeah.
So that's the state of what we're that is the Goyim right there. The Goyim, right? It's like we pay attention to this stuff, and we pay attention to it because we have to, right? It's the way we're built. Goyim, you know, the mass of Goyim doesn't even think about this shit.
Yeah.
They don't know who Fauci is at all. They're in a completely different universe, but they're following orders.
Yeah.
And we both experienced it. Was this yesterday, Jimmy?
Yeah, that was yesterday.
Yep, we both. What time was it? It was about 3 o'clock?
I think so.
Holy shit. Yep.
I was getting some groceries, but yeah. And then I was telling you and David Duke couple nights ago that, you know, a couple of old friends of mine came by, you know, all my close friends, they know the Jew stuff, but, you know, these are kids from grade school wanted me to show me their car, you know, some old hot rod. And so I go out, but I'm talking all this Jew stuff. It wasn't like I was presenting it bad or nothing. It was just that these guys are so clueless that, you know, it's hard for them to catch up on it. And then they kind of just don't care. It's like, what does it matter to them, you know, until it does.
Well, like, exactly. Yeah. The Goyim.
Yeah. Like they don't care about the Palestinians, you know, and all that.
They don't even know who they are. Forget about care about them.
Yeah. I was telling, my daughter today, I was saying, you know, if the Mexicans are going to elect that Jew for president, I mean, I would rather have Palestinians come to America than the Mexicans then, because, you know, if they're that stupid, you know, at least the Palestinians are on our side, you know. And I actually know a couple of them, and I grew up with a lot of Lebanese people here in St. Louis and Italians. But and my Italian friend from Sicily, he used to always say, he goes, yeah, I'm Italian. I'm not white, you know, but I used to always, you know, mess with him about that. But, you know, it's,
right.
But he, you know, all of his kids are, you know, married to white girls now, but yeah, he went all the way to Sicily to get a wife, bring her back, but then she got deported. She was here 20 years, never got a, you know, her citizenship.
Right.
And he got on steroids and went nuts and started selling drugs and stuff. And anyway, they got him and his wife and deported his wife back to Italy. So he screwed everything up. But
good thing they got her, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, good thing they got. And they got, and those Jews are letting in millions through, you know, what used to be an American southern border. You know, these Jews who have taken over. It's just, it's so far gone, right? That I personally don't want anybody to come here, right? I mean, look.
Yeah. Well, I feel sorry for the Europeans, yeah. That's for sure.
Right, exactly. Right. I mean, except for those people. Exactly. The people who founded this once great nation.
Yeah.
The Goyim don't know. I can guarantee you, Jimmy. The Goyim don't know what Palestine is. I have no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. They don't know anything. Look, that lady didn't know the name Fauci, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Fauci has 24/7 security. He's had it for years because he's hated. Because people hate the guy because of what he did.
Yeah, he should be hated.
Of course.
Yeah.
He should be hated, but they don't know who he is. So that's why it's our job to tell them. Jimmy, I'm going to get the next caller.
Yeah.
But we'll get you back in, buddy. Just okay. Let me know if you have a question in that box.
Right,
thanks.
Got it.
Always great to hear you.
Okay,
buddy. All right, let's bring in Elizabeth from California.
Go ahead, sir. Elizabeth. How are you? Hey.
Stop calling me sir. I know my parents.
Okay, Dave. Did you notice that very exquisite manicure that Fauci had on yesterday on his hands? Well, you paid for it.
Unfortunately, I did not see the hearing. But
I did.
I'm going to watch it. You know, that's one of the things I do. I watch congressional committee hearings. I do watch a few of them in their entirety, you know, 6-hour things. So I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, I had a couple of real quick things to discuss. I think we all agree that there were at least 4,000 Jews that didn't show up on 9/11 that got a heads up from their homies.
Got the Jew call.
Right. Yes, sir. And so have anybody thought this through, that they could put out tainted food and give all their homies a heads up, you know, don't buy Skippy peanut butter from, you know, this year on or whatever. And, you know, I mean, that could be endless possibilities there. And, you know, they've tainted our medicine. They've tainted vaccinations. You know, it wouldn't be above them at all to do that.
No, almost everything about them is bad.
I know. And yet I wanted to just strangle you the other day when you said there was some responsible Jew what you were interviewed at the SS Liberty Institute.
Well, he's the guy who, you know, was a lead pilot attacking the Liberty, and he was a general, and he later on, decades later, he refused to fire on Palestinians. So they reprimanded him. So obviously, you know, this guy wouldn't do it. And he's a good guy. You know, you can't say.
Oh, no, David. No, David. No.
No, you're talking about, what we're talking about is organized international Jewry, right?
No, not you. You are not.
Okay.
Not this.
Okay. Well, that's right. So you tell me that every Jew is involved, right? That's what you're saying?
Every Jew is Satan.
Well, okay. I'm not going to argue with that, but I don't think they're involved in organized international Jewry.
Well, I wish you would widen your scope on that. It would be great. And yeah. I've had said this to you before, but if I was your next door neighbor and I knocked on your door and I said, hey, I got to go to town, out of town on an emergency, and I had a cardboard shoebox with me, and I said, would you please watch my pet termites? Would you do it? No.
Yeah, I would. You know why?
Why?
Because then I would exterminate them while they're around. Sure. Give me your absolutely. Give me your termites. I'll take care of them. Whoops. Yeah, they got. You know what? What happened was we had somehow they got gassed. I don't know how it happened, but they were gassed. So I apologize. They're dead. So you can get more termites, right?
Well, I would not have pet termites. I was just being.
I know. I'm talking about me talking to that imaginary neighbor who brings the termites over. So go ahead and tell the listeners why you love Speak Free Radio. You said something about Giuseppe's show yesterday. What about?
Oh, God, it was so good. I've listened to it 2.5 times. I'm going to listen to it 2.5 more times. It was really because so many of our homies, although I have issues with Paul from California, and I always have issues with, I think, wasn't Dewey the dancing Israeli on there? I can't remember.
I didn't hear the whole thing.
But there was, people were just getting really down, saying they were just ready to really take action. And that's what we need to hear. You know, we don't need to hear Dr. Duke give you a college, you know, a lecture on history. We need to talk about action. And it was really, it just made my blood warm. You know, these men, you know, we have to love our men. The Jews, you know, and their craziness have had us push the man down so badly, white man. And these men that were, you know, talking about really taking action.
Talking about Floppa, right? Floppa was the guest.
Oh, I like him a lot. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
It was such a darn good show. Yeah. And Giuseppe, you know, he's very knowledgeable.
Yes.
And,
but he's so a pain in the ass. He's a pain in the ass, but yeah, of course he is. He's making me do this show. So yeah, of course he is.
I love it. So you're going to have this every Tuesday or just?
Not over my dead body.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes, that's the plan. Right?
Every Tuesday.
Yes. Every Tuesday.
At this hour. Oh, great. At I love hour. It.
Yep.
I love it.
Yes.
I wonder how, I'm trying to figure out how I can figure out how to be, I'm not as nearly as knowledgeable as you gentlemen on history and whatnot.
There's no gentleman here, but yes.
Yeah, I hear that. Bunch of horn dogs.
Right.
But, how I could sometime be a sidekick on a show, but I don't think I'm up to that. Oh, you're sweet.
Yeah.
You are sweet.
I know. I know I am. All right, Elizabeth, we'll get to the next call. And if you want to come back in, let me know.
Okay, and thanks.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Have a good day.
You too. Okay. Lancastrian Jack.
Hey, Dave.
How are you, my good man?
I'm okay. Thank you. How are you, Dave?
I'm okay. How are things over there in the country that birthed this once great nation?
Well, we're still awaiting your visit, Dave. I know you promised eventually you'll get to come over and have a beer with us. That'd be lovely.
Oh, I will. I'm going to have to take, a Titanic-type vessel because I just don't trust the airlines anymore with their racial quota hiring bullshit, right?
That's right.
So this DEI stuff has no place in this, has no place anywhere, right?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I don't know the number of, you know, non-white businesses in your country or my country, but I can't imagine that there are too many of them. I mean, just from opening my eyes and looking, I see what I see. And I'm sorry, I don't see these. And there's a reason that there are not non-white businesses around, because they can't do it. They don't have the wherewithal. And there are exceptions, of course, but
Isn't it the case in South Africa? I believe in South Africa, Dave, but every company has to be at least 50% black-owned. But then, I think that's the blueprint for us, for you, for Canada, for England, for Australia.
I don't think it's going to go that direction. I think it's all that shit's going to end. It's going to collapse. Yeah, well, I do. Yep.
You've always had
just like the DEI. You know the DEI is done, right?
Yeah.
You know that, right? The DEI, and it does, but because of that Supreme Court ruling, right? The affirmative action that dismantled almost all DEI programs in public universities and colleges.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's done. That's yeah. So it does cycle, but I mean, overall, I think the trend is, you know, back to, you know, the way that it's supposed to be. Let's see. You don't know how to fly a plane. You scored really horribly on all of your tests. You're basically a fucking moron, but you're the right skin color. And so get into that cockpit, Leroy, right?
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's disgusting. So,
by the way, you know, Jimmy was just declaring his love for you, Dave. I thought I'd just let me echo those sentiments because, you're a very, if you don't mind me saying, you're a very easy man to love. You must know that. I imagine your wife tells you you're a very easy man to love.
All the time. I'm kidding.
No, sure. But
Thank you, Jack.
I'm really delighted you've got this show. I know you were joking earlier. You said it's all down to Giuseppe and, you know, you're wishing.
You think I was joking.
Well, you seem to be joking. Would you say you've got an aversion to the spot? I know sometimes, like, when people phone in and they might ask you a question, if you want to ask David Duke a question, but they might ask you something, you'll always bat it off and deflect it and say, no, I'm not. Do you have an aversion to the spotlight?
No, I don't think so. I do that because it's the Dave and Duke call-in show, which is its name. I didn't name it. It's for people to ask him questions. So,
sure. Yeah.
That's I mean, simple. I suppose this show, somebody could ask, if they, you know, not that I'm anything or anybody, but anybody could ask anybody a question, right? Yeah. I mean, like I asked you a question, how are things over there? So, yeah I'm just, I'm not averse to the spotlight. I've always done my work behind the scenes. But I relatively recently, you know, started to be more prominent in front of the camera instead of behind the camera for reasons that are related to the seriousness of our struggle.
Yeah. Well, you've certainly done your share already, Dave. I mean,
50 years worth. You heard the intro.
That's right.
Yeah.
That surprised me, a half century.
You know, it's a quarter century.
That's right.
Yeah, Giuseppe said it'll give you gravitas. I had nothing to do with that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you a personal question, if I could, Dave.
Of course.
You know, I was listening a couple of weeks ago. You did an interview. Remember, you did an interview with Miriam. Miriam, was her name
Miriam. Yes, Miriam. I think. Heinem?
That's right, that something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
I remember you were talking about your wife, Simona.
Yes.
You got emotional.
Simona. Yes.
And she asked you, Miriam, and she said, you know, she was talking about when you were poorly. And, you know, she asked you how it changed you. And you got very emotional. You were talking about the support you got from your wife. And you got, you know, you choked up a little bit. And you said that it made you grateful, not just for your wife, but just in general, it made you a more grateful person. And I wondered, it made me think of Alfred Schaefer. You know, he's a friend of yours, Alfred Schaefer. And because he went through his own 4.5 years in jail for no reason at all. And he came out of that. And because I would say that your ordeal was less survivable than his. I mean, didn't you say the nurses were getting choked up because you were like a walking miracle, weren't you? You were like a 1% chance.
Yeah. Right.
But Alfred Schaefer emerged from that ordeal and said he was actually grateful, not just grateful in general, but he was grateful for the ordeal itself. Have you ever gone that far and said, you know, for those 3-4 months you were in hospital, that you even say you were grateful for that you wouldn't change anything? Or is that taking too far?
No, I wish that, I don't know if I could have prevented that whole thing because... Before I went into the hospital, I was just, all I wanted to do was sleep.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what would have happened if I continued down that path. Perhaps, you know, it would have been worse. I don't know. But I probably should have just, you know, taken a chance because when I got in there, they gave me that remdesivir, you know, and that just, and I don't know if it was that, but, you know, you hear stuff, but, you know, then it was just downhill. And, you know, I remember one time when I was at that military hospital, and that's where I went in the beginning, you know, they took a, I think a CAT scan of the lungs.
Yeah.
And the doctors, these are military Air Force doctors, really wonderful, all of them. And they weren't like yes men. I had a conversation with one of them in particular who was pissed off at, you know, the government censorship and media censorship. And, you know, he was angry. And so he saw what was happening, you know, right there in the field. And, you know, I was on oxygen at that time. And I think it was even high flow oxygen. And when they got the results of the CAT scan, one of the doctors, not this one, another, a different doctor, had asked me if I wanted to see the chaplain.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I said, no, thank you, though, because they thought, you know, and this was just a couple of weeks after I was in, because of what they had seen. So they thought that I was a goner.
Yeah.
And, yeah,
you,
but, you know,
you didn't want the, you didn't try it or anything like that.
No.
No.
I wasn't planning on dying.
No,
yeah.
Of course. Well, did you get the sense they were thinking along those lines?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why the nurses, when they saw me in the other hospital and remembered seeing me in ICU, that's why they couldn't believe it.
No.
Because all the nurses want, for the you know, the good nurses who go into that profession for the right reasons, all they want is for the patient to go home.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what they want. And they don't want you there. They want you to get the hell out. So,
but you are a different, you would say, I've heard you say that you are a different person now because of that. And isn't it the case, Dave, that you prefer the person you are now? I mean, so I'm saying, are you therefore grateful for having experienced it?
Well, I'm grateful for, you know, seeing, well, I'm grateful for being here.
Yeah.
But I'm grateful for seeing something I knew nothing about, which was the nursing profession. Because that was just, wow, amazing. Yeah. Like, wow. I mean, I know they make a lot of money and everything, I found out, right? But, you know, because they were talking amongst each other. I mean, they make like, they can make like, you know, $500, $1,000 a day.
Yeah.
Especially the ones who travel, you know, the traveling nurses. And, you know, they have to do the most, you know, horrendous things, you know, like the patients are shitting in their beds or, you know, throwing up or whatever they're doing. I mean, they have to tend to these people. And of course, they saw, you know, all of these people dying and they, you know, they had to, they still, there's people still obviously psychologically dealing with it. Because when you see a person die right in front of your eyes and you can't do anything about it, it has obviously an impact on you.
Sure. Yeah.
So they pay them good, and they should. So that was one thing. Of course, my wife doing what she did was another. And, you know, she wasn't going to give up. Yeah. And so, yeah, I'm grateful that I saw, you know, that side of her. Because, you know, I think a lot of, you know, couples, you know, they don't know how the other couple will respond during such a situation.
Yeah.
And she was all in. And she was just like, you know, driving from here, you know, here to at the second hospital, Pensacola, you know, 50 miles each way, getting the boy to school, doing everything else that a mother and a wife does, running the business, which she never did before.
But her faith was unshakable.
Yeah, that's why I spoil the hell out of her. Mm, oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. She.
Well, I've told you, Dave. I've told you a couple of times.
She was unbelievable.
I'm sure. And you even made Mariam cry when, you know, Mariam, she was brought to tears when you were talking about your wife. But, and I've told you a couple of times, Dave, when Tom Goodrich said you're the strongest man he'd ever known. And maybe that's why your wife had such faith in your chances. You know, Tom must have said what he said for a reason. But they do say, you know, that suffering does make your life more complete. It makes your perspective wiser. It makes your experience richer. But you paid a high price for a wiser perspective. If that's what it gave you, I mean, 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
Beastly.
Well, 4 months. I think it was 1 week shy of 4 months.
Yeah, extraordinary.
Yeah. No, I got out on December 30th. I went in on Labor Day on September 6th.
I remember because, like I told you, Andy Hitchcock was giving us updates, and you honored Andy, didn't you, with your comeback interview?
Yes, because there were a lot of people wanting me to explain, and I didn't have the energy to do it, so I thought it would make sense. I asked Andy if he would do that, and he agreed. And, you know, this way, and I was in bad shape. That was like 2 weeks after I got home.
Was it really?
And I was still in a wheelchair and, you know, on high flow oxygen. I could only walk like 10 feet.
Well, I think you're preserved for
and,
a
I hope so. I mean, I hope it's
Look at what you're doing now. And SFR, I want to congratulate the other people might want to talk, but let me just say, I want to congratulate you on SFR, the talent you've got on SFR. I mean, I did listen I tried to listen to a couple of hours today, and I happened to catch Davis Lerman with his outburst.
Yeah.
You know, it thrilled me. He's a great man. And I love Paul from California, even though Elizabeth's proper hardcore. She's got no time for Paul from California. But, I mean, I love Elizabeth, but Paul from California is great. And Giuseppe, he's so amusing. And he's always, whenever you listen to Giuseppe, there's always much talk of Rector. He's completely obsessed with Rector, which is the plural, I think, for Rectum. But he's so amusing listening to him. He's got a great sense of humor.
Yes.
He's a great
It really is. I'm glad you brought that up because that's a great way to explain it. The talent, the talent is just unbelievable. I'm amazed, you know, that you know, these guys do the shows that they do.
Yeah,
really, every show. That's what I was saying. It's true. Every show is great.
It really is.
Yeah.
Would you say, Dave? This is the last thing I'll say because I know what the people are waiting. But would you say this is the richest period of your career these last couple of years?
Richest
period
in
of
what
your
sense?
Career? I mean, richest in the sense of the most fulfilling aspect of your career.
Oh yeah. Oh God. Yes. I'm very fortunate to be here at this time. I feel bad for the. You know, the warriors who came before us were not able to see what is happening, what's about to happen to the enemy. So yes, without look, all of us are here for a reason, and we're here at this point, at this place in time because we were supposed to be.
That's
We're not here by chance.
No,
we can't
no.
be. It's impossible.
But sometimes I get the sense.
So yeah, man.
I do get the sense sometimes listening to you that you've almost given up on what you call the Goyim. Do you have? It's understandable. Would you say you have contempt for the Goyim? You always talk only about
the
Goyim. 1 in 10,000 is the number you always give. That we are the one in the.
Yeah, I mean, I think my contempt has. Changed into, you know, like resignation.
Yeah.
That this is who they are. It's not that they're bad or good. They're just goyim, you know, and they're not curious.
Yeah.
So, you know, that, and that's something that I think a lot of us contend with is we're thinking, you know, if only I could wake up these people.
Yeah.
And they're not going to wake up. You know, the ones, who are going to wake up, but but the ones who are not going to wake up are not going to wake up. And that's the goyim.
But right? even you weren't awake at one time. None of them did.
No. But I was always curious.
Yeah. Like I say, it's not a question of stupidity, is it? You must know a lot of people are not stupid, but completely incurious.
Yes, that's what it is. It's not stupidity. Absolutely not. It's they just don't want to dig deeper. No. They're happy with the explanations, the conventional explanations given them.
Is it cowardice?
I don't even think it's that.
No.
I think it's just they don't have that spark that we have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which we knew about all our lives. They just don't have it. They're not like us. That's why I call us mutants, because we are.
Yeah, born this way, which is weird. Born, not made.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. We're fortunate to be able to see, you know, what's out there, and they're not. And no matter what we say to them, they'll never see it.
No.
Just like that lady in the convenience store.
That's right.
She didn't even know Fauci's name.
No. The funny thing is, they wouldn't swap places with us. Not us with them.
No, they're happy. They're happy, yeah. And, you know, that's why it's like, you know, they're NPCs, right? Non-player characters. And we're just, you know, going right through them like a blowtorch through butter, you know, and they don't play a part in anything. They're never going to play a part in anything,
no.
You know, but there are going to be those who wake up, but they're not goyim. They're mute. They just don't know yet. And they have to find out. They have to study this stuff and explore it. They have to be curious. If they're not curious, then they're goyim.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great gift, the gift of curiosity. It's like your impulse. When you were talking earlier about Mark Thompson, the other bloke who used to run the BBC and then the New York Times.
Yeah.
CNN, and, of course, your impulse immediately was to say, is he a Jew? And I just looked him up, and he's apparently Roman Catholic. His wife is called Jane Bloomberg. But people would say, what a terrible response, a terrible instinct to immediately say, is he a Jew? But again, why wouldn't you think that? You know,
yes.
he's working for the Jew, surely.
Yeah. I don't think it matters if he's a Jew. It doesn't matter that Rupert Murdoch is not a Jew. Mm. What matters is they're working within the Jew matrix.
Yeah.
And obviously the Jew matrix is evil. And it destroys everything, and it wants to enslave humanity. There's really no, I mean, it sounds, you know, hyperbolic, but it's not. I mean,
not at all.
You know, they want us dead. They want to enslave us. And if they can't enslave us, they want us dead. So this has been written about by, you know, brilliant, you know, folks for a long time. You know, I mean, read The Machine Stops by E.M. Forster. It's unbelievable. It's a novella, but it's unreal. He nailed it. He wrote that in 1909. I think he had seen airplanes, and he had a vision. He had a meditation of what it would be like, and he predicted, you know, the air would be so rancid that folks would have to live underground, and they'd be sitting in their reclining chair with their computers.
Yeah.
And they were told they cannot go to the surface of the earth. And almost all of them listened, except for the protagonists in the novella.
Yeah, you
and
know, the,
it's just
the following beautiful. The following year, he wrote one of the world's first sodomite novels. You know, because he was...
Well, he was a homosexual.
Oh, big time,
yeah.
Sodomite. But he sat on this, it was a book called Morris, and he sat on it for 60 years until he died. He basically did no work at all for the last 60 years of his life. He wrote Howard's End, and he wrote a number of, you know, Passage to India. But
yes.
When I think of E.M. Forster, I think about, you know, he was once asked, he said, if I was told that I had to choose between my friend and my country, I'd like to think I'd have the courage to choose my friend. And I thought, that's a typical sodomite thing to say, because, you know, to me, your first allegiance is to your people, not to your friend. This man,
yes,
he had no allegiance to his people, only to his fellow sodomites, I imagine.
Well, they're not like us, right?
No, how can they be? No, I would never trust one, personally. I couldn't ever trust one.
Yes.
I don't think there's such a thing as a conservative.
Just like a Jew.
Well, you get people like Douglas Murray and people like that, who obviously he's very much on the Jew payroll. But occasionally it makes a bit of sense. You know, he's a so-called conservative. He's what we would, you know, the establishment would like us to think that he's a conservative. But to me, there's no such thing as it. He's a sodomite, Douglas Murray.
Right.
And I don't think there's such a thing as a conservative sodomite. It's an oxymoron. I wouldn't trust
Yeah, him. Yeah, absolutely. It is, absolutely. It's, you know, logically it doesn't make sense.
No. No, the guilty of beastliness is what Rudyard Kipling always referred to. Anything in the sodomite realm he referred to as beastliness, which I thought was nice. He was a great man, Kipling.
Yeah, I was just going to say another great man.
Yeah.
White man's burden.
That's right, yeah.
You guys have given us a lot, Jack.
I hope so.
Hopefully you'll give us more.
Well, we're going backwards at the moment, but
I know.
I'm ever an optimist, same as you. We can't afford to be pessimistic.
Yeah, it's not logical to be pessimistic.
No, we're still the same people we always were. At least, you know, in our nature, in our blood, we're still the same people. But
yes.
You know, we've been subject to malicious and malevolent influences, which we need to overcome.
I hope you do, man. Jack, it was great hearing your voice, my friend.
Always lovely to talk to you, Dave.
Thank you, Jack. And we'll talk soon, I hope.
When I said to you earlier about love, it is about love. And I've heard you talk about the people in this. You talk about family, don't you? This is family. When you're talking to...
Absolutely.
I said, you said no longer you're going to meet Goose and people like that. People, you know, it's family. And I don't like to throw around words like love, but it is love that I feel. I'm only being honest.
Yes, I agree with you. Yeah, it is. I actually had the great fortune of doing that, hanging out with people, you know, as they say, in real life, right?
Yeah.
Well, and it's great. I mean, it is family, and you just have a great time. It's like, you know, it's literally like you've known them your whole life.
Exactly. And yep. One day,
and you don't have to explain. Go ahead.
No. Day, I want to come to Florida one day, and I will be dropping in at Crestview. There's no question.
You promise?
Absolutely, no danger.
All right, Jack. Sounds good, my friend.
Great talking to you, Dave.
Likewise, Jack. Talk soon.
Yeah, cheers.
Okay, buddy. Bye. Okay, let's bring in Joel Paul. Joel Paul, go ahead.
This is Joel Paul. Can you hear me okay?
Perfect.
Okay. I heard that show yesterday where Davis and Paul from California kind of got into it. It sounded pretty real to me, but now you guys are saying that it was just a setup just to liven up the show.
Well, I didn't know about it beforehand.
Okay.
And, yeah, so I just heard about it when it was happening. And then when I went to turn it on, it had already ended. And so I had to wait until it was archived. And, of course, I had foreknowledge of what it was because I talked to Davis, and he told me, you know, he was laughing. And then when I heard it, I could see why it was or how it was not, you know, a live spur-of-the-moment event. You know, he had recorded these, you know, these audio tracks, or maybe they were video, too, I don't know. Where, you know, saying 3 days later, you know. So, yeah, it was fake.
Okay.
And I know it was fake.
Cause that's not the reason I called, but I'm glad everybody's still friends.
Cause
I like
that
show on Mondays. It's a good show. But the reason I called is about the death of the Iranian president and his foreign minister. And I read Press TV's internet site and watch their news show just about daily. And in Iran, they're not speculating about any foul play or anything. They're just playing up that he was a great guy and everybody went to his funeral and everything. Interestingly, both, I think, Israel and the United States came out right after it happened and said, oh, we had nothing to do with it before anybody.
Right, because they knew that they would be blamed, right?
Started accusing people.
Yeah.
But the fact that there were 3 choppers in the air that day, and only one had problems, and it was the one with the president and foreign minister on it. I heard another report, and I have no way of verifying this, but somebody that follows weather globally tried to look at the weather patterns for that day, and they'd been deleted from the website that is usually available to the public, which is interesting if it's true. And I also heard there were American helicopters that the Iranians have kept in the air all these years after the Iranian Revolution and all the sanctions that were put against them. And I'm thinking, well, they either manufactured spare parts were buying them on the black market. And then I'm thinking, well, the CIA could have easily set up an operation where they sold some black market parts to Iran, specifically, you know, digital computer stuff that they could access when they felt they had a need to.
Yes,
take out these helicopters remotely, you know, without using any space weapons or plane anything. So maybe, I don't know, another
100%
interesting factoid from this incident was the Slovakian president Fico, who was shot a few days earlier, a week earlier or something.
Right.
He had just met with the same guy that the president of Iran and foreign minister of Iran had gone to meet with, the head of Azerbaijan, who were in a big conflict with Armenian Christians, and Israel is supplying Azerbaijan with a lot of military hardware in that conflict. And I just wondered if maybe that somehow fits into the picture that they, because if both FICO and the Iranian president were going to talk to this Azerbaijan leader about that conflict and may have been at odds with what Israel has planned, and they just might have taken him out for that.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't followed it, but yes, anything's possible. I just don't know who he was and, you know, what's at stake. So, yeah, anything's possible. We don't trust them. Obviously, one bit.
I mean, I believe it wasn't an accident, but it sounds like we may never have knowledge of it one way or another.
Yeah, yeah, right, exactly. Some things you never get the answers to, like the Liberty, right? At least,
yeah.
You know.
But there's been absolutely really no speculation about that in the Iranian press, which is kind of interesting. They don't even talk much about it.
I don't even know if they had. Do they have like a real press or? Yeah, I don't know.
Called Press TV.
I don't know if I.
News about.
I don't know. You know, they interviewed me once. You know, and they actually had me go to a studio here in my town, and you know they were supposed to pay me a certain amount of money for doing that, and you know, had it professionally done, and it ran, but they never paid anything, and I forgot all about it. And I said, "Hey, weren't you supposed to pay?" And they said, "Oh, the sanctions are killing us, so we'll try." So I don't know,
well.
You know. And plus, they never got back to me again. And I like to think I have something to offer in that area, and
sure.
You would think that they would. So I'm kind of suspect about Press TV.
One other thing that's interested me, how does a Jewish woman who's sounds like she's kind of a climate change zealot get elected president of Catholic Mexico? I mean, it kind of sounds like the fix was in there. I looked up what voting systems they use in Mexico, and it's some company called Smartmatic out of London.
Oh, yeah.
The director is, her last name is Hillman. I don't know, it sounds kind of Jewish to me. I don't know.
Gracias.
So I think maybe they just did a Biden-Trump type election there. And now we've got communists in all of the big countries in North America, right?
Well, you know, for such a teeny tiny minuscule minority, it's just, what are the odds that they would be in all of these positions. I mean, it's almost, you know, it's incomprehensible.
Yeah. I just
somehow don't. These Jews, you know, these Jews do it.
I mean, there's guessing there's still a lot of Catholics out there who just don't like Jews much because they killed Christ and stuff. And so she wouldn't have gotten a lot of votes from those people. And then being big on climate change, I guess she held some office in that function before she got elected president.
You mean global warming?
Global warming, yeah. And, you know, most Mexican workers are probably smart enough to figure out that, you know, the restrictions and weird stuff, the hoops they're going to make you go through for climate change is going to affect people like them on the ground have to work hard for their food and their living
right.
a lot more than it's going to affect the elites. So they would, you know, a lot of people wouldn't vote for her because they don't like her climate change stuff. But she got in.
You don't, I could tell. I don't have no faith in the electoral process.
No.
Right? So, especially after the last one, you can't.
I guess it probably does not be better than Mexico. We know it's corrupt in this country. So.
Yeah, it's just, it's garbage. It's sad. It's sad.
Well, thank you guys for taking my call.
Brought us to. Well, absolutely. Hey, it's a call-in show. So thanks for calling. Thanks for listening.
So everybody.
And please call in anytime.
Everybody will be back next Monday on the same asylum.
Well, I don't think Floppa will be because I think he was just a guest. Yeah, but Davis and Paul and Giuseppe will be.
Okay, you know, that was a false fallout. Good.
Oh yeah, absolutely, 100%. Yeah, 100%. And it was pretty funny, but the skit failed because of Paul's connection. So he didn't have a good connection, and that's what did it. he couldn't, like, get enraged or whatever would have happened. Like I said, I still don't know if he was in on it. You know, again, it's Giuseppe's fault. So, you know, Giuseppe caused the problems. That's all he does is cause problems. So we'll have to deal with him soon, one day.
Jeff Rentz made up with... what's his name, that Jewish pastor?
Oh.
After kicking him off his show, and then they made up, so.
Yeah, Jewish pastor, was that
Brother Nathaniel.
Nathaniel guy, yeah.
I come to the conclusion that he's not what he seems to be. But
no, I experienced that as well. Yeah, he's not. So that's for another day, my friend. But thank you very much, and please call back.
I will. Thanks.
Okay, buddy. Bye. Thanks. Bye. Okay, let's bring in Mike. Mike, where are you calling from?
Hey, Dave. It's in Nebraska. How you doing?
Hey, Mike. What's going on?
Not much. To catch earlier when you said your friend he had to get a bunch of bypass work done. I just want to bring up, Jim, my condolences. I hope everything turns out okay. And I know somebody called in for a remedy, but I want to give you something. You remember Dr. Linus Pauling, two-time Nobel winner? Yeah, he was a rock star in science. And just to preface this, they voted on the 100 most important scientists that ever lived, and he's number 16. Well, he came up with a cure for heart disease, and they have quelled it and quashed it. Do you know about that? Can you hear me?
I don't. I'm not really up on a lot. Yeah. Yes. I can hear you.
All right. So, So what happened, Linus was 65 years old, getting ready to retire, and a buddy of his in Canada, another chemist, started treating heart patients with vitamin C, and he noticed their arteries began to clear. And so Linus and another German doctor picked up the research, and they mated it with L-lysine and L-proline. And long story short, these guys, one of his other friends was a Nobel Prize chemist. He was dying of heart disease. He couldn't even walk to the bathroom and without oxygen. But he wrote Linus. Linus told him to get on, you know, the megadose of vitamin C with L-lysine and L-proline. And within a month, the man wrote him back, and said not only was he not using his oxygen, he was chopping down trees and walking miles every day. And this guy had five bypasses, and he was ready to die. They sent him home to die. So Linus cured thousands of people of heart disease. It should surprise none of these listeners that they're hiding it from us. But just a little bit of background, 30 to 40% of all hospital revenue comes from heart disease. And if you're selling $20 worth of vitamin C, proline, and L-lysine a month, you're not going to make any money. So they shamed him. They've given him a little bit of accolade, say it might do good for a cold. But anybody can go to paulingtherapy.com. That's P-A-U-L-I-N-G, therapy.com. And his good friend Owen Fenerote, he has the Vitamin C Foundation. And you can get that on YouTube, the Vitamin C Foundation, and get some interviews with Linus and also with Jeff Rentz. They've done interviews on there talking about it. But anybody who does high-dose vitamin C, and we're talking 10, 15, 20 grams a day, they will clear up their heart problems in no time, 60 days, maybe at the outside. And these are people with bypasses, ready for heart transplants, et cetera, et cetera. So, just wanted to pass that on.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did, Mike, and I'm going to make sure Jim listens to this, and Diane.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's just there's no money in Pauling Therapy, and they disgrace Linus, and he's probably one of the greatest geniuses who ever lived. So, but
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, thank you, Mike.
Yeah.
Please call back again.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. Bye. Okay, let's get Johnny from Wilmington, Delaware, the land of Biden. Have you ever seen that asshole, you know, traipsing around Delaware?
No, he's usually got his entourage. He is so protected. Oh my God! When he rides,
what are they protecting? A traitor, a crumb, right?
It's disgusting.
Disgusting.
You know, when he's traveling back and forth from his home to the airport, they block off the road and they hold traffic up. And man, I hope we ain't got to go through this. Like, I hope it's just while he's president. I hope it's not going to be like, you know, he has Secret Service security 24/7 the rest of his life. My God. But anyhow, Dave, I wanted to ask you, me and you had a conversation a while back about a gentleman by the name of Chuck Maltby. And I think I know why you probably came in contact. I recently did some background on him. He used to have a wonderful website, Truth Bombers. It would get you up to speed on the Jew problem. Well, he had so much there to warn you about the Jew. I mean, he had Ernst Sundell and Dr. Friesen and Jim Rosoli was even on there. There was just so much. But I see he came across that he wrote a song called The Ballad of the USS Liberty. So I was wondering if you guys had any contact with him recently.
Yeah, no, I know Chuck. He's a great guy. I've talked to him, emailed with him. You know, the Liberty, you know, it's just such a, for a variety of reasons, a contentious topic, you know, within our community, because so much information has been disseminated that's just wrong. And the problem is, that folks want to believe this stuff and, you know, like the mythology about the Liberty and the flat out lies. And it's just not true. And it's tough for me being in the position I'm in to, you know, have to explain, you know, certain things, which, you know, people don't want to hear it. You know, I mean, I talked to someone a couple of years ago who I'd interviewed a bunch of times and told him that, you know, this one of these particular stories was just not true. And, you know, he was all, you know, rooting, you know, for this matter. And, you know, they just don't want to hear about it. And I don't want to tell them, you know, you're being duped, you know. So, and I'm not saying that about Chuck, you know, but because I'm such a, you know, USS Liberty purist, right? I mean, even like the smallest error, you know, I want to correct it, right? And so there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of issues with what we think we know about the Liberty, and we really don't. So, and it's a perfect example of how you got to be so careful about everything that you research and study and want to learn about, because if you have the wrong information and that gets propagated, which it does, and we're all guilty of it, but this is within my control that I can make sure that I'm not propagating any falsehoods. So, that's why I didn't want to die. That was one of the reasons I didn't want to die, because I got all this information about the Liberty and I don't want to take it to the grave. So I will, I'll make sure I don't. And I get that book out, and then I can just, here's what I know, and do what you want with it. So what we'll do, Johnny, because it's closing in on that time, I got a note from the studio that in about 20 seconds, it's closing time, right? And there you go. There it is, buddy. Hey, Johnny, thanks, man. Always great to hear your voice and great to hear everybody else.
You're listening.
And you all
to
have a great week, and we'll see you next
radio,
week.
Radio, the free speech internet radio platform.